So last week, were we here last week? You were not here last week. Okay. Okay. So we discussed this sugya here. As background, the Mishnah began on page 58, or Ryu on page, right, it should, won't have a number on top, on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, with the words lulav ha-guzl v'ha-yavesh pasal. If you have a stolen lulav or you have a yavesh lulav, it is pasal. Right? And there's no argument on that. That was the only thing that the Mishnah said. So now we turn the page, and we move on to Lamed Aleph, about 20 lines from the bottom. And it begins with the statement, Tana, the Braisa says, Yavish Pasul, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, that a dry lulav is pasul. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that it would be kasher, that it would be okay. So that seems to be against the Mishnah. So it's not really against the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is entitled to his opinion. He's a Tana, he's the same level. It didn't make the cut to make it into the Mishnayos, but we do have a Braisa that says that Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir something. Right? We don't know what he's being machshir. We assume it has to do with lulav esrog gadasim and aravos, etc. He's machshir something. We're not sure exactly what. So Rava comes along and says, "Amar Rava, machlokas belulav. The dispute is by the lulav. The rabbanon savri machshinan lulav esrog. Ma esrog by hadar af lulav by hadar." Right? Because the rabbanon connect lulav to esrog. Just as Esrog requires Hadar, so too Lulav requires Hadar. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, lo makshinam Lulav the Esrog. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't make that connection. Aval be'esrog divrei hakol Hadar be'inan. However, by Esrog, everybody assumes that you require it to be Hadar. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda adds in, so Rava is saying, this is Rava's claim about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is making two chidushim. Or he's saying, making two points about Rabbi Yehuda. His fourth point is that he doesn't connect lulav to esrog, that esrog requires hadar and lulav doesn't. Therefore, and lulav doesn't. And the second thing he says is that esrog, everybody assumes that hadar is required by esrog. So it means that if I were based on at this point in the Gemara, right? If I would ask you, if I have right now on the top shelf of my study, so I have. This year's lulav, this year's esrog, last year's esrog. Last year's lulav was burnt with the chametz, right? So the last year's esrog is pretty much the same density as a baseball. Okay, it is pretty dry, right? So that would probably be pasul, right? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, an esrog, right? That would be pasul. However, if my lulav had survived the great burn of Erev Pesach, right? So the lulav. Would have still been, even though it's completely dry, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it would still be kosher. Okay, so that's this first line. So to take a, now the Gemara debates what Rav was talking about. However, last week we hinted to it, and this week I want to go through it. Because we started in Shir today, and they're going to need some help with it. So that Rabbi Yehuda, this is kind of outside of the Gemara, but a very important topic for all of Shas, this keeps on coming up all the time, that Rabbi Yehuda Savar lo makshin and lulav v'yasrog. Rabbi Yehuda says that we don't. Actually, the line above says makshinan, right? The Rabbanon Savri, right where we started. Rabbanon Savri makshinan lulav v'yasrog. She says Esrog requires hadar, so to lulav requires hadar, right? It says the pasuk says pre eats hadar kapos timarim, just as Esrog is required to have this beauty, so to lulav is required to have this beauty because of a hekish, because they are connected to one another. And Rabbi Yehuda says ain't no such thing. There is no such hekish. That's the machlokas that is in this braisa, right? Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Chachamim say to be makshinan one to the other, and Rabbi Yehuda says lo makshinan one to the other. We don't connect one to the other. Therefore, only esrog is required to be hadar, and lulav is not. That's at least again. That's our understanding at this point in the Gemara. Everything shifts on daf on Amud Beis, but that's how we got to understand it for now. So what does it mean, lo makshinan? What does it mean that there is no hekesh? Right? A hekesh is, again, that the two words are right next to each other in the pasuk, so therefore we assume that there are halachos that transfer from one to the other. So what does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't make such a hekesh? So if you take a look at Rashi, three lines down, right in the middle of the line, it says the word lo makshinan. Right? What does that mean, lo makshinan? Right? You got it? Right? Rashi script all right?
Yeah,
okay. So lo makshinan, lo hukshu lilmod zemizeh, velo nitron lidrosh miatzmo, mikol yegimel midos shator nidreshes bahem, ela kavachomer. So what does that mean? He says, we don't make a hekesh to learn one from the other, and we are not allowed to be doresh by ourselves. We're not allowed to figure out our own hekeshim from all of the 13 midos shator nidreshes bahem. Right? It's in the morning, Rabbi Yishmael, the Shoshes Midos Torah Nidreshes Bahem that Rabbi Yishmael has. The first one is a Kal Chomer, the second one is a Gzeir Shava, and the third one is Ben Yanav, and the Shnei Kesuvim, Abayim Ka'at, right? The 13 things that Rabbi Yishmael has, not all of those 13 are actually found in Shas. There are actually many more that are found in Shas. There's, I think, another Bryce, or Shechter would always point out, there's another Bryce someplace, I think, that has 40.
34.
34, okay.
Yeah,
there's 34 ways of Limudim, whatever it is. So there's different ways of being Dorish Psukim. So what Rashi is saying here is that you're not allowed to Dorish them yourself. You're not allowed to look at a pasuk and say, oh look, the word who appears there, and hey look, the word who appears there. Maybe there's a halacha that I could use to connect them. That's not allowed. Right? You're not allowed to make them up yourself. They have to be taught by way of misora. Right? The only one that's the exception to the rule is a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer we can figure out by ourselves, that's a svara, that's logic, but the other one's not. So how does Rashi read our Gemara then, with this shita in mind? How does Rashi read our Gemara? So he reads it as the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, had this Misora of connecting Lulav to Esrog, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't. Right? Rabbi Yehuda didn't learn from his Rebbeim to be connect Lulav to Esrog. And you could yell at Lulav till you're blue in the face and say, what do you mean? It's a hekesh, they're connected, it makes perfect sense. Hadar, hadar, it goes before, after. It's a perfect hekesh. Rabbi Yehuda could close his ears and say, it doesn't matter to me because I didn't hear it from my Rebbeim. Okay? And that's a traditional understanding by all of these Yud Gil Mishra Torah Nidreshes Bahem, right? That you have to hear it from the Rebbeim. Probably just a question on this. Before you get to Tosas's question, Tosas asks a significant question, and therefore it changes everything. But, what is bothering by me, and I don't have a good answer for this yet, is, well, what does it mean that a Misora has to be taught to you from your Rebbe? Why can't the fact that the Rabbanan had this Misora be good enough for Rabbi Yehuda? Right? Rabbi Yehuda's hearing it from him. They're yelling at him, we have a Misora, we have a Misora, we have a Misora. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I don't. Ha, ha, ha. Well, what do you mean? Maybe you were absent from yeshiva that day, right? Maybe the Rebbe, you got into the shir a year too late, or you left a year too early. Okay, like, what does that mean? Why does Misora have to be solely from Rebbe to Talmud? And I don't have a clear answer to that. And it's also a little bit difficult to test, because chances are we really paskin like Tosfos. So let's take a look at Tosfos. Three Dibar Masos for the end. Rashi is perhaps more taught in yeshiva, and it's people are brought up with Rashi's understanding, but Tosfos is probably incorrect. Let's take a look at Tosfos. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Makshin Lul Liasur. It's about halfway through the Tosfos in, right? It's on the left side. You got it, Richard? You got it? Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Makshin Lul Liasur. So he first quotes Rashi, right? Perish Bekuntris. Kuntris means Rashi. Lo Hokshu Lomot Zemizev Lo Nitin Lidrosh Miatim Mikol Yemadumias Shatornish Reshes Bahem. Ella Kal V'Chomer, right? Exact quote from Rashi. You're only allowed to figure out Kal V'Chomers for yourself. You're not allowed to figure out Hekeshim for yourself. However, then he asks, V'Sema Gedola. Sema is like, or Tema is, it means a significant question, like a wonderment, like wow. Remember when I was in Marash HaKolel, so Rabbi Yitzhak Cohen used to give Musa Shmuzim about the word Tema. Hey, ma, it's a wow. Like the earth used to shake. So this is not just a tema, this is a tema gedola, a real big tema. And what is the tema gedola? Perish, da afilu smuchin, that even smuchin, da hainu shnei mikros ha smuchim zelazeh, nitnu lidrosh min hatora. That smuchin, what are smuchin? Those are when there are two psukim that are right next to each other. Right, if there are two psukim that are right next to each other, you are allowed to be dorish that. How do you know? So Kedamrina Bereish Yavamos. So it's a Gemara in the beginning of Yavamos. Smuchin min HaTorah minayin, meaning how do we know that there are smuchin in the Torah? Shenemar smuchim liad liolam ha'esuyim be'emes v'yashar. Okay, whatever the exact lima there, it's not important for us right now. But Tosfos writes there, or Gemara writes there, that how do we know that you're allowed to be dorish smuchin? So what does that mean? It means that obviously we're allowed to be dorish smuchin, right? If everything was brought by a Mesorah, we wouldn't need a proof to teach us that we needed to learn from a Mesorah. Right? So it's not, right? Smuchim min HaTorah minayim, shenemar smuchim liad liolam ha'esuyim be'emes v'yashar, right? And if smuchim can be darshened out, if Tanayim could figure out smuchim on their own, kol shekein hakesha, dahainu shnei dvarim hamukashim b'pasuk echad, certainly they could learn out a hekesh when they are both found in one pasuk. Right, so Tosus, which is a Kal V'chomer, you're allowed to figure out, right? But Tosus says, "I'll give you a Kal V'chomer." Right, the Gemara in Yevamos seems to say Rashi would have to read the Gemara in Yevamos differently. Right, but the Gemara in Yevamos seems to say that we're allowed to go out and figure out halachos based on the fact that there are two psukim, one following another. Right, so or parshios, one following another parsha. So if you could figure out one parsha to the next parsha, one pasuk to the next pasuk, certainly within one pasuk, you could figure things out. That's a stronger connection that we're allowed to figure out. So that's Tosfos' question on Rashi. Rashi, what do you mean that you're only allowed to do Kal V'chomer on your own? Right? The Gemara in Yevamos seems to say, right, that you're allowed to figure out many things on your own. The one exception being, Gezeir Shavos. And even that's a question what that means. Bafila Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go to the next. And Gemara says, "I feel the Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda sounds familiar, right? "I feel the Rabbi Yehuda delo darish smuchin elahecha demuchach umufne." Even Rabbi Yehuda, who has various rules and regulations for which smuchim he'll accept and which ones he won't, what that is another time. Kedamrin and Hasam mikol makom behekeshim moda. He certainly agrees that you can learn out hekeshim, right? And this is the same Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda, you're very nice that you don't have a mesorah for it. It doesn't matter. Look at it. It makes perfect sense. It's a good hekesh, right? So rather, Toso says the following principle. He says, "Ella kol hamidos adam dan miatzmo." Chutz mi gezeira shava. All midos, man, a person can be done by himself, can figure out by himself, with one exception, gezeira shava. Dein dan ela im kein lav demirabo v'hacha b'sfar me'al lav demirabo. Gezeira shava, that's the one exception to the rule. Right? That exception, right? That we have makoros for. Gezeira shavas you can only do by yourself. You can only have a mesorah and you can't do by yourself. Vahacha, so now we have to figure out our Gemara then. Okay, Tosos, so why does Rabbi Yehuda not accept the Hekesh, right? It seems to be a perfectly good one. So Tosos concludes three lines from the bottom and says, Vahacha bisvara pligi. So here the dispute is about svara. Here the dispute is about logic. Right, there are things that we aren't that you don't make a hekesh to that thing. What is that? So v'shema kasavar. So maybe his svara is lo shayich lashon hadar el beferus, that the word hadar doesn't relate to lulavs; it only relates to peros. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda's answer to the Chachamim, according to Tosfos, wasn't, "I'm not listening to you because I don't have this Mesorah, and therefore I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever I say goes back to you." Right, he's not saying that. Rather, what's he saying? He's saying, "I'm not listening to your Hakish because I don't think it's a good one." The word Hadar doesn't apply to Lulav; it only applies to Esrog. It doesn't make sense. It's like calling, it's like calling a woman handsome, right? You don't call a woman handsome, right?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Do they call men stunning?
But it's not.
No, in classic English literature, women are called handsome.
All right. Well, you get the idea. It's an adjective that doesn't relate to the person or to the object. It's an adjective that doesn't relate to the object that you're talking about, right? I don't know. What would be an example?
That's fun.
Okay, you got it?
Got it.
Okay. Oh, come on, I can think of a good one. Oh, man.
Careful.
I got to think of a good one for class tomorrow. That's right. There's always going to be one in the crowd saying, no, no, it's not true. Okay, anyways. So that is that. So this is, right, not really relevant to our Shaklavataria, but very relevant when you go through the rest of the Gemara to try to figure out what's going on here. It doesn't solve the Gezeira Shava problem, right? Which always was a problem in our Daf Yomi Shir. It doesn't solve the Gezeira Shavas, right? But it seems like they're kind of figuring out Gezeira Shavas on their own. That, because Gezeira Shavas has to be Masorah, that Tosos will admit, but all the other things can be darshaned by your own self, according to Tosos, which actually resolves a lot of difficulties. Okay. So now, back in the Gemara, last week...
Is that accepted by everybody?
I'm not sure, except
for Gezeira Shavas.
See,
I don't know.
I recall doing this in a shir between Mincha and Marv at some point, either this past year or the year before. I can't find it in my notes anywhere. So I did work. I don't remember. It's driving me crazy where I can't find this anywhere in my notes or in the source sheets that I put together. It's gonna be hard to know because both Rashi and Tosos are reading the same Gemara, right? So Rashi knew this Gemara in Yevamos and obviously interpreted it differently, right? And Rashi knew all the other times when this pops up in Tosos or one of these Limudim show up, Rashi's going to tell you we had a Masorah, and Tosos is going to tell you he didn't. He figured it out by himself. But it's hard. It's a historical machlokas almost, right? So it's hard to know, you know, you have to look around which Rishonim hold more. I'm not sure anyone would say that one could do these Bizman HaZeh. Right? So it'd be hard to know. Okay. So last week we already got to the top of the next Avod. Basically there was Kasha Teretz, Kasha Teretz, Kasha Teretz. And this is very nicely illustrated by the Gemara Brewer program. They're all the same questions. They're all questions that are brought from earlier sources. Because if you look in, it says Vahasnan, Vahasnan, and Vahatanya. Right? Vahasnan, the mission that we have a mission that seems to teach. We have to, you know, let's read it through quickly. Uvlu of Lobai, we'll do it at Daf Yomi speed. Uvlu of Lobai, Rabbi Yehuda Hadar. Really, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require Hadar by Lula, right? Which is the claim that you just made. Vasnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yagdenu Momala, right? Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to bind it. You bind the lulav, right? Which is a claim from our Mishnah, a quote from our Mishnah. My time, why do you say you have to bind it? La mishum debai hadar. Isn't it because he requires it to be hadar, right? So therefore, you see, Rabbi Yehuda does require hadar by lulav. So my answer is no. Lo kitikatani time. No, the reason is Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Tarfon. We actually have a reason taught in a brisa. The Rabbi Yehuda says the reason is kapos tamarim kafus. What's the meaning of the word kapos tamarim, which are usually branches of a date palm? No, kafus, that it has to be tied. So it has to have the appearance of being tied. So there's two ways of having a lulav have the appearance of being tied. One way is to have it while it's still very young and still very straight and still very hard. And the other way is to tie it up, right? So it's got to be done one way or the other in order to make it look tied. And if it's spread out, so you got to tie it up together. Fine. Then the Gemara asks again another kasha. Velo by hadar really doesn't require hadar. Vehasnan, right? But we have a brayse that seems to indicate that it does require hadar. Ein ogdin es haluv el bemino dibi Rabbi Yehuda, right? You don't do igud to a lulav except by way of its own type, right? When you bind the lulav, right? The ringalach that appear on a lulav. So dibi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that those ringalach can't be rubber bands and it can't be string and it can't be. It can't be something else of that nature, right? It's got to be something made of lulav, or I would assume, I don't know, probably something made of any of the gimel medium that are being tied in, right? It has to be made of those things. So my taima, why should it be required to be made of one of those things? La vishum debay hadar, right? Isn't that because it requires hadar? It requires it to be nice, and for it to be nice, right, that makes it nicer if it's tied with the lulav itself. So, and that seems to indicate it requires hadar, which seems to go against Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Says lo, the hama Rava afilu besiv afilu beikara the dikla. No, Rava says that's not true because you could even tie it, and this is the same Rava as before. You could even tie it with a sieve, which is ivy, afilu beikara the dikla, or the bark of a tree. Meaning, if you take the bark of the palm tree and tie it together, that's okay. So that's not very nice looking. That's not very beautiful. That's not very hadar to use ivy. Ivy is yucky. But Ella, my time of the Rebbe Yehuda. So then, what is the reason for Rebbe Yehuda? If it's not hadar, why does he require it to be bound with mino? So hasam the kasavar luluf tzarech haged. Because Rebbe Yehuda holds that a luluf is required to be bound, right? Bound together with the hadasim and the aravos, right? Be maisi mina achrina havaluhu chamisha minim. And if you put in another min, if you bind it with a rubber band, you bind it with a string, you bind it with something else, so then it's going to be 5 min, right? Once you require it, right? Once you require it to be bound, and you say the only way that you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav is if it is bound, so then by insisting that binding be of something else, right? So then it's going to be a 5th min. That means that your dalaminim are actually dalaminim plus binding. That can be, so therefore we require it to be, it has to be one of those minim. Okay, so that's two questions about how do you know the Rebbe Yehuda doesn't require hadar by lulav. And at this point we could pretty safely assume that he doesn't. Now, the Gemara turns around, and this question is actually going to go till... Four lines from the bottom on the next page. The imais v'eser mi by Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Now, does Rabbi Yehuda require hadar by esrog? Are you sure that Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar by esrog? Now, by the way, there's an overhanging question on this that why we would assume Rabbi Yehuda would require hadar by esrog. What is that?
You have it in the
Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, right. It says priyats hadar, so he's got to require hadar, right? So how is this even a question is itself a question. The Gemara resolves that as well, but that's not asked at this point. At this point we say, really, sure, Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar by an esrog, but we have the following brisa. It's a pretty lengthy brisa, but there's only one line in the middle that is required for our question. That arba minim shebelulav kashem she'im poskim mehem kachim musif et aleim. That there's four types that go into a lulav. Right, a lulav here is not just being called a lulav, the lulav itself, but rather the bunch of, right, the set, the lulav set. Just as you do not take away from them, you also don't add to them, right? You can't take 3, you can't take 5. Lo matza esrog, and so if you can't find an esrog, lo yavi, lo parish, lo rimon, lo davar acher. Don't take a parish, which is translated as a quince, right? Velo rimon, which is translated as a pomegranate, velo davar acher, right? Or anything else, right? A lemon, a yellow piece of Lego, those soft, squishy, cotton ball things that my kids come home from shul, right? Don't use those, right? That's no good. Kamushin kasherin, yaveshin psulim. So then the Gemara continues and said, if it's kamush, what does kamush mean? It's like drying, right? Withering, right? It's almost dry, it's not dry yet. That's still kosher. I mean, you can't get one, so use that one. It's not very nice, but it's still yotzei. There's still some moisture in it. It's all right. However, yavesh in our pasul, right? If it's yavesh, then it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, af yavesh. You can even use yavesh. So now, that's the line, right? As the price is going to then point out, right? That's the line. Rabbi Yehuda says af yavesh, right? What's he referring to? He seems to be talking about esrog, right? That's what the Gemara wants us to think, right? That's what we're supposed to be thinking, right? That it applies to esrog. And that's akasha, right? Plus Rabbi Yehuda saying that yavesh esrog is good, which means that the concept of hadar doesn't apply to esrog, right? Which is, huh? How does that happen? Right? I'll accept Rabbi Yehuda for lulav, right? There's no hekesh. I'll accept it for adasim. I'll accept it for aravos. But esrog, how can you say that there's no yavesh, that there's no adar by esrog? Yes.
Is hadar in the eyes of the beholder? Maybe he liked you dried up esrog. Maybe he thought that was.
Maybe you're talking about when nothing else is available. What's better, a dried up esrog or something that you? It's either nothing or something dried of the right kind.
Right. So Rabbi Yehuda, that point is made. In terms of yavesh being in the eyes of the beholder, I wouldn't go there.
No, not yavesh, hadar.
Right, hadar being eyes of the beholder, and yavesh therefore being permissible. So that it's It's hard to say. It's hard to say that there's no objective standards.
It's a weak question, but I thought I would throw it out.
Right. It's hard to say there's no objective standards. But then what do you say?
If there's nothing else available, then what option do you have other than
right,
a dry
nothing, restroom? So if nothing else available, so maybe I should use the yellow cotton balls that my kid brings home from school.
But it says you can't just use those things.
Right, it says don't use the other things.
There are other places throughout Shas where if what you're supposed to use is not available, then you just don't use it.
Right. So the assumption right now, at least Rava's assumption, right? You might be right, but Rava's assumption, right? This is not Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rava said that Rabbi Yehuda would never possibly, in his wildest imagination, say that Yavesh, that Hadar is not required by Esrog. But yet here you see black on white, it seems, that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Yavesh is permitted even by an Esrog. Right, which seems to be nice throwing out the idea of Hadar. Now, you could come tell me, well, he doesn't have any choice, maybe things are different, but if the Pasuk is going to say creates Hadar, right, that doesn't just mean, that means that it's not, that means that part of the definition of the being of an Esrog is to be Hadar, right, not Hidr, right, that's one of the problems at the beginning of the Gemara, talks about Hidr versus Hadar, right, it's not Hidr mitzvah, it's defining an Esrog's got to be nice, that, otherwise it's not an Esrog, otherwise it's a lemon, and many puns there.
See, I have trouble with the definition of pre-Eitz Hadar to begin with. I'm having trouble with that. To me, it sounds like pre-Eitz Hadar, a fruit of a Hadar Eitz. Why does that mean that the fruit has to be Hadar? Isn't that the definition of the fruit from the tree?
Right, that's the definition of the fruit from the tree. Right. And one of those definitions is that it's got to be.
Yeah, but it's Hadar going to fruit or Hadar going to tree.
But it's the pre of the nice tree. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean the fruit is Hadar. It's a pre from an Eitz Hadar.
Doesn't
Hadar mean citrus?
Well, I don't even know where you get Etrog from.
Right. So how do we know all these things are really learned out from the Sower? Now, this is just a tradition. That's the way it is. Otherwise, I mean, there are some clues, and the Perek, over the course of the next, I don't know, 8 blot or so, 10 blot or so, will throw out some more clues that how you'd identify it. Bottom line is, you wouldn't be able to identify it unless your father had one the year before. it just wouldn't work. So the word. So I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know, but the in the truth is, here in this part, it might not even be fair for me to talk about it in terms of pre-Eitz Hadar, because the Gemara is not necessarily saying that. We're only saying on the fact that Rava said that it requires it to be Hadar. Now, you could redefine it, you could say Hadar means something else, or whatever. That's not the assumption the Gemara has right now. Right? Right now, the Gemara's assumption is that Hadar equals not Yavesh, right? And if you're going to allow Yavesh, that means that you haven't allowed Hadar. Alice, to spill the beans a little bit, the Gemara does give another definition about what Hadar means, and that must be what Rabbi Yehuda says. That's at the end of the Gemara, but there's a long way to go before you reach that. Okay, so Va'am Rabbi Yehuda, just to continue, but that's the question. That's the question on Rava. Now the Brisa continues and says, Va'am Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Bivnei Krachin. Right, it happened in the Bnei Krachin, it happened out in the boondocks. Right, in the villages, they used to give out the lulavs to their children and to their children's children. They used to pass on lulavs from generation to generation. Rashi says it's a place where they didn't have palm trees. Right? Yeah, you live in a place that don't have palm trees, right? So they would pass it on from generation to generation. And that's Rabbi Huda's proof that Yavesh is allowed, right? Implying that it wouldn't just be allowed by lulavs, it would also be implied by esrogs. That seems to be the implication here, right? Otherwise, there's no chiddush. Otherwise, it's fine. I mean, otherwise, Rabbi Huda says anyways that rule of a yavish is fine. It would only be a chiddush. Right? So the chacham turned around and said to him, "Amrulham bisham raya." He said, "Amrulo." It's really amrulo. Really, really. From there, you bring a proof. Ain't shasad chak raya. You can't bring a proof from shasad chak. Now, we pointed out last week that line itself is a very strange line. Right? What do you mean you can't bring a proof from shasad chak? Right? If it's not an esrog, it's not an esrog, right? If people made a bracha on it, that means it's an esrog. If people made a bracha on it, it means it's a lulav, right? You can't, right? That's a very, what that line means, big question in the Rishonim. I'm not prepared to talk about it yet. And that's the end of the Braisa. So katani mihas means, okay, if you look in that braisa, what it did say is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda omer af yaveshim ksherim. Rabbi Yehuda said that even yaveshim are kosher. And my lava esrog, was he not talking about an esrog? Meaning it seemed like he was talking about an esrog. It smelled like he was talking about an esrog. He had just finished talking about an esrog. Doesn't that seem like he was talking about an esrog? Their answer is no. Lo alulav. No, it wasn't talking about an esrog. He was actually talking about a lulav. He had already shifted gears to talk about a lulav, not an esrog. But everybody would certainly agree that an esrog would require hadar. That discussion about whether yavish is permissible or not in that braisa had nothing to do with esrog. That it would be impossible, it would be inconceivable for anybody to possibly think that, at least until you get to another 8 lines of Gemara. Okay, that's that question. That's the third question and answer. All right, third question and answer is, doesn't it seem like... Like, what do you mean that he doesn't require hadar, that he requires hadar by esrog? It seems from this braisa that he doesn't. Right, answer is, no, that braisa wasn't talking about esrog, it was only talking about lulav, right? He requires hadar by esrog. Okay. So now, amar mar, whenever the Gemara says amar mar is talking about something that was previously said in that Gemara. So amar mar, it's said in the previous braisa, right, it kind of wants to take a side point, k'shem she'en pochasem mehen kachem musifin aleim. It had this line, right, just as you don't take away from them, you also can't add on to them. Right, that's what the line said. Right, so Gemara says, pshito, what do you mean? Of course, what would our hava mean have been? What do you mean? What could it have possibly meant that we could add on to them? Gemara says, no, mahu detema, what would I have said? Ho will va'amar Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzarech eged, right? So he says that I would have thought that since Rabbi Yehuda says that lulav requires it to be bound together, so if you would bring in another min, right, and Rashi adds in and not tie it in with the other ones, then you would say that it would remain separate and wouldn't be a violation of having too many. Kamashmala, no, that if it's in your hand and it's picked up during the time of lulav, it's a problem, right? It's a problem, even if it's not within the binding of the other ones. If it's in your hand, that's a big enough problem. That was first amar mar. And then there's amar mar number two, also found in that braisa. Lo matza esrog, lo yavi, lo rimon, v'lo parish, v'lo davar acher, right? Don't bring a pomegranate, don't bring a quince, don't bring anything else, right? Don't bring the yellow furry ball, the furry yellow cotton balls, don't do that, right? So pshita, right? Of course not. Mahu desema, what would I have thought? Right, of course he can't, right? So what was the havamin? What was the thought that brought that statement in? To say, mahu desema, what would I have said? Lacy, he hate. Lacy, maybe you should bring it. Ki heche shelo tishachach Torah esrog. That I would have thought that maybe you should bring it so that people don't forget about esrog. Right? You're in the middle of Kiev someplace, right? There's no esrog that's found. You're in the middle of the Ukraine. There's no esrog around. So what do? So we could bring the three, and maybe my kids will only see three. So maybe I should have like a zecher l'esrog, right? I'll bring an apple, zecher l'esrog. That's what the Gemara is suggesting, right? Maybe just hold another one, just so we don't forget about this concept that there's something such a thing called an esrog. So the Gemara says, don't do that. Zimnen denafik churva mineva asila mizrach. No, because it could be that it's going to... denafik churva mineva, that we're going to learn from it. I think we're going to learn something out from it, and it's going to become a disaster. You know, the people are going to start thinking that you can use random things to replace an esrog, which is always a question. It's always like in the rabbinate, these are like constant questions that come up. Like, is it worth it to fake it out? Like, Earl, I'll do a different story. I don't want to say one that's happening right now. off tape. I mean, when I started, so in Phoenix, so someone who wasn't religious, had a relative that passed away. So they weren't, Rabbi, I'm not sitting Shiva. I don't have time. I work, whatever. No, I'm not sitting Shiva. So he said, well, how about you do one night of Shiva, and that way the community will come, and you'll have one night of Shiva. So, like, that was nice. He had a nice, that was good. And then I was thinking to myself, like, well, what happens when the next guy comes and says, I'm not going to do the full show, I'll do what that guy did, right? So that's always a balance that one you have to draw, right? If you're not going to do the lecharchila, so then what trouble are you going to run into if you only do the bidiyevit? I mean, what kind of precedent does the bidiyevit set? And that's always an issue. Okay, so now the Gemara then says Tashma, brings a great proof, takes two sentences, one sentence. Tashma, Eser Kayashan Pasol, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Right? An old esrog. What does it mean, an old esrog? What's that a code word for?
Dry,
right? A dry esrog. Puzzle. No good. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Huda says Machshir. Rabbi Huda says that's okay. So all of this, the last 15 lines, we've been trying to make sure Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Right, we're trying to make sure to get Rabbi Yehuda out of saying that a yavesh is that esrog doesn't require hazar. Here in one five word sentence, no, sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no getting out of this one, right? There's no getting out of this one. Rava tiyufta de rava tiyufta. That is a tiyufta means a significant question, an unanswerable question on Rava. Tiyufta. Being Rava, you kept trying to say that Rabbi Yehuda says you require Hadar by Esrog. Wrong. Right? He doesn't require Hadar by Esrog. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require it. He would accept even a Yavesh Esrog. So now the Gemara is then going to flip and ask the other way. Right? The Gemara then turns around now and says, tries to bring proofs that Rabbi Yehuda actually does require Hadar. Right? It's bringing a Kasha on this Tiyufta. Right, v'lo bai hadar. Really, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require hadar. V'ha'adetanan. But we have the following Mishnah. Hayarok kikarti. Right? If it is green like a, translated as leek. If it's green like a leek. Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda posel. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't use a green esrog. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you could use a very dry yellow one, but not a green one. So why not? Lav yishum dibay hadar, right? Wouldn't the logical reason be because he requires it to be hadar?
He doesn't.
My question again: Why is the green esrog less hadar? Unless by Masora, then it's got to be yellow.
Right. So his answer is lo mishum de lo gamer peira. No, the reason is. Not because of Hadar, which may have been bothering you. That may have been bothering him, I mean. No, the reason is not because of Hadar. It's because it's not a Peira, right? Why is it green? It's because it didn't become yellow yet, right? So if it didn't become yellow, right? The part of the mitzvah is that it's not just a fruit, but it's got to be a complete fruit. It's got to be a whole fruit. It's got to be a finished fruit. And if it's still green, it's not a finished fruit. That is his first juke move. Right? Gets out of it. Next attempted tackler. Tashma, shir esro katan. What is the shir, what is the measurement of a small esrog? Meaning, what's the smallest an esrog could be? Rabbi Meir Omer ke'egos, it's got to be bigger than a nut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ke'beitza, Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be bigger than an egg. So lav mishum debay hadar. Why does he require the minimum size to be so big? Isn't it because he requires it to be hadar, right? And he says again, no, lo mishum de lo gamer peir, but it hasn't completed its growth, right? Esrogim in their full growth will never be below smaller than an egg. If it's smaller than an egg, it means it's not done. It's not a full fruit, and sorry. So tashma, one more. Uvegadol, how big can it be? You have to be able to hold two in one hand. That's the deal. You got to be able to hold two in one hand, which sounds like it would be subjective, right? In fact, his reasoning is also subjective, right? Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Echad B'Shtei Yadav. No, even one in two hands would still be okay, right? So one in two hands is.
Guess what?
Good.
Right.
For small hands.
Right.
Even if you have small hands, right? Right. You can usually balance pretty big things. Even people with small hands could still hold laundry baskets, right? so, so, So my taima, why does he require that to be so big? Right, it only requires a maximum size. La mishum d'bay hadar, not because he requires hadar. Lo, the reason is came the Amar Rabba lulav biyamin v'eser gusmol. No, because Rabba says, and it could be that that's not Rabba, but it's Rava, right? If you think that footnote there, that footnote sends you to the Bach, which tells you that it's Rava, not Rabba. Right, who Rava has been constantly involved with this conversation. So came into Amar Rava, lulav biyamin ve'esrog bismol. Right, that the lulav is in the right hand and the esrog is in the left hand. So zimin demichalfele. There are times that it got mixed up. Viasi lap huchinhu, and you're going to have to switch it back. Right, there's times that you look and you go, oh my gosh, it's in the wrong hand. Right, and you're going to have to switch it back. So what's going to happen when you need to switch it back? Right? So va'asi li'af sule, you're going to passel it. How are you going to passel it? So Rashi tells you, because you're going to drop it. Right? If it's too big, you're going to drop it. If you drop it, it causes all problems, you're going to passel it up. So it's not because he requires it to be hadar. Rather, he requires it to be kosher. Right? And if it's too big, you're going to drop it at some point and it's going to be not kosher. So then the Gemara finally asks the question that we've been waiting for. Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, haksiv hadar, but it says hadar. The pasuk says hadar, right? And what do you do with the fact that the pasuk says hadar? It says no. Hahu hadar bi'ilano mishana l'shana, right? It returns to its tree year after year. What is that referring to? So it's interpreted to mean that apparently
you don't pick it. You don't pick it, doesn't fall off.
Very good. And you knew that from the Gemara.
Yeah.
You heard it.
I heard
okay.
It.
Right, but if you don't pick it, it stays on next year. Right?
I heard that.
It's also a reason why it's called Eitz Prehadar, because they don't lose the fruit if you don't pick it.
I read on a Chabad an article from a Chabad email. When they're that size, but if you leave them, they'll will be the size of a watermelon.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole estro growing industry is something that There are rumors that people did. We actually, the neighborhood where the Phoenix Jewish community is used to be was a grove, and it had a lot of lemon trees and grapefruit trees, and a lot of people had in the backyard. Our first house there had grapefruit trees in the backyard. And it was irrigated for that. And there's a whole story about how, that's how people watered their lawns with the irrigation system. And some story, rumor has it that people had esrog trees. Not that I knew of. We took all ours from Israel. But that's the story there. So that's it. Hadar be'ilan u'mishana l'shana. It's got to be hadar from year to year, and that resolves every year. We don't pass it this way, right? We pass it that a yavish is possible. But this is Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of how it could be passed. All right. Stop it here.